How radical was Jesus? Pretty radical. And we're going to talk about it on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned. Here we go. Hey there, welcome to the program. Come on in and make yourself comfortable. I've got a seat reserved for you. My name is Gary Zimak, and I apologize in advance for my voice. This cold that's been coming on seems to be really blossoming today, so I'm fighting a bit of a head cold. But nonetheless, I'm happy to be here. We're going to talk about Jesus and just how radical he really was. As we continue our look at Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Jesus, we're going to also look at the daily mass readings today. They're all about repentance. You know, certainly not a very popular subject, but one that is really appropriate during the Lenten season. We will talk about that on the show as well. And I'd like to start off with some good news. My latest book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, is now in the warehouse at Franciscan Media. So if you've ordered the book, you're going to be getting it very soon. If you want to find out more about the book, I would invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You can either order yourself a copy or maybe find out a little bit about the book. I'm excited. Well, oh man. I am excited to talk about this book and to get out there and start speaking about it and waiting for it to be released, because this book is a labor of love. This book is all about some very easy steps that you can take to grow closer to Jesus. These are steps that I've taken and that I still continue to take, because I'm determined to get closer to our Lord. That's what I dedicated this year to. 2016 is the year that I want to get closer to Jesus than ever before. And I'd also like to help you along the way. And really, that should be the goal for our entire life, to grow closer to Jesus Christ. And I hope my book will help you to do that. We'll talk more about that. But for the duration of Lent, I still want to keep the focus on Rediscover Jesus plus our mass readings. I got a neat little reading. We have a little extra time today. This is a book that I picked up. It's called Thoughts and Reflections for Lent by Cardinal Richard Cushing. Now, this book is different than the one that I also used on the air by Cardinal Cushing, called Lent with Christ. This is an earlier book, and these are meditations from the a Boston newspaper, that very, very small meditations that he would write during the Lenten season. I think these came from 1963. Now, this is really brief, but I want to share this with you. Christ says intangible things are important. There are many elements in the life of Christ that seem strange to us. Every other person has as his purpose to live. Christ came to die. And because of his death, men have eternal life. Christ taught sacrifice to a selfish world. He points to wealth, honors, and power as dangers and downright evils for most. He says the intangible things are important, material things negotiable. He rejects the world and conquers it. The sweetness of Bethlehem does not go sour on Calvary. Death on the cross is rebirth for the world, the fulfillment of the birth in the cave. Christ establishes new values, the chief of which is peace of soul, derived from doing daily the will of God. He promises all who give up their will to his the mastery over themselves. If ever a life needs meditating so we can begin to understand ourselves, it is his life. Isn't that good? That's just a little meditation. I'll try to work some more of these in as we go throughout this Lenten radio retreat. I hope you're doing well. I hope you hope you're enjoying the retreat. And you know, always please never hesitate to contact me. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. If you need anything, if you're confused about any of the discussions that we have on the show here, if you're struggling during Lent, don't try to take this on alone. I would be happy to help you in any way that I can. So always feel free to reach out. And keep in mind too that I would like to come to your parish if you'd like me to bring me into your parish to speak about Jesus, to speak about overcoming anxiety, any of the topics I discuss. Please contact me. You can find a full list of my topics, as well as some full-length talks that I've given, video full-length talks that I've given, on my website, followingthetruth.com. So please keep that in mind. I really would love to bring the message to your church. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get right on with the material for today. Does that sound good? Oh, before we pray, you need to know the beverage du jour. I might have had this last night. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think I might have, either last night or the night before. It's a cup of McDonald's coffee that I brewed at home. I hope you're enjoying a beverage, whatever it may be. Feel free to have a snack. That doesn't bother me. We're here to talk about Jesus. We hang out together every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. And as we progress through this Lenten retreat, we're going to learn more about Jesus. So whatever you need to do, you can even take your shoes off if you're comfortable doing that. Whatever works for you. Sound good? All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us another day. We're so grateful for the opportunity to know you, to love you, and to serve you on this day. Father, please help us as we continue our Lenten journey. Help us to be able to turn away from sin and move closer to you. We hope to get to know you and your Son Jesus better this Lent. Please help us to continue on even when we get tired, even when we feel like giving up. Help us to push forward and keep moving on. Father, we ask you to bless those who are listening tonight. Help them with any struggles they may have. We especially ask you to watch over and help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who might be dealing with doubt or despair, those who are struggling with addiction. And please, Father, I give this show to you. I ask you to speak through me. Please use my voice and my lips to proclaim your message. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. And also, we hand to you all of our own personal needs, excuse me, any of our intentions, things which often keep us distracted and keep our focus off of you. We give them to you, and we ask you to handle them for us, because we know that you can do a great job with these problems. We know you love us, you know you want to take care of us, so we give them all to you, and we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as we do each night, we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers. Together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us, and good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying with me. Thank you for tuning in. It is really great to be able to spend this Lent with you. I was looking at the numbers of listeners last night, and we're doing really well. Numbers are definitely up, so I thank you for being a part of this retreat. And I want to let you know that if you have any friends that might want to join us, it's not too late. It's never too late. I don't care if they join the last week. That's fine. We'll take them whenever they're ready. All we need is to have them tune in, and they can feel free to listen, whatever works. And just as a reminder, this program can be listened to in three different ways. You can listen to it from blogtalkradio.com. All you need to do is search for The Gary Zimak Show, Zimak. You can also download the podcast from iTunes free of charge. And you can also go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and listen to the last five programs right from the website by going to the radio page and clicking on the little Blog Talk Radio player that you'll see there. So there are a lot of different ways to listen to this show. None of them cost anything. They're all totally free of charge. That's the way I want it. And one of the reasons that I'm able to give this show free of charge is because of your generosity. So I thank you for all of your contributions, your financial donations to my work, because not only are you funding my full-time ministry, you are also making it possible for this radio program to exist free of charge. So I thank you for that, and please keep that in mind. If you'd like to make a donation in the future, you can do that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com, and clicking on the Donate tab. All right, let's get on with it now. Jesus was a radical. We're on chapter 8 now. Now, the material for tonight is not as lengthy for the previous couple of nights, so we have a little more time to discuss it. Jesus was a radical. Jesus has a vision for your life. Now, even before we start, isn't that a really neat thought? That Jesus has a vision for your life. He's got a plan for us. Open up your Bible and read one of the first four, open up your Bible and read one of the four Gospels from start to finish. Try to do it with fresh eyes, and you will be struck by something. Jesus was a radical, and his life and teachings are a radical invitation to something beyond what most of us have settled for in our everyday lives. What does radical mean? It means to get to the root of things. Jesus was interested in getting deep down to the root of things. He was interested in what was essential, not the fluffy periphery, but the core, the center, the heart of things. Jesus wasn't trapped by the notion of political correctness. He wasn't burdened with the need to be liked by people. He wasn't moved by the desire for expediency or convenience. Instead, he simply allowed truth to reign supreme. Truth is radical. To abide completely by the truth in every situation in our lives is incredibly difficult. It requires both the heart of a saint and the diplomacy of an experienced ambassador. Every day, we are tempted in dozens of ways to have a casual relationship with truth. Many situations emerge each week in which we are tempted to ignore the truth or bend it, stretch it, or massage it out of political correctness, a desire to be liked, expediency, or convenience. Isn't that an amazing concept to think about? And it really is true. We do have this temptation to have a casual relationship with truth. We find ways to kid ourselves. We find ways to mislead others. It might not be intentional, but we maybe stretch the truth a little bit. Maybe we embellish. Maybe we're not exactly realistic as to the way things are happening. We might change reality a little bit. There are so many different things. So many different things that we can manipulate. Again, it's often not intentional, but Jesus was pure truth. Now let's get on with what Matthew says. But Jesus didn't have a casual relationship with truth. And that is radical. You know, it really is. If you look around, not only at your life, but the lives of those around you, very few people tell the complete truth all the time. People bend the truth. People look at things they don't have to be lying either. People look at things in maybe less than a realistic way. And sometimes we depart from reality. A lot of times we think we look differently. Did you ever do that? You think you look good, and then you see a picture of yourself, and it's like, whoa, what did I get so old? I mean, that's one of those shocking things that I deal with sometimes. In my mind, I still think of myself as I looked when I was 25, but unfortunately, when I look at the photographic evidence, that is not the case. But Jesus always dealt with the truth. Jesus didn't have a casual relationship with truth, and that is radical. He was interested in getting to the root of things. Through the lens of truth, Jesus places everything in its proper place, bringing order to every aspect of life, and demonstrates the true value of things. We all learn for this divine ordering. The challenge is to surrender and allow God to put our lives in order. The fruit of this surrender is the peace and joy that we all desire. I'm going to read that again because that was really powerful. We all yearn for this divine ordering. The challenge is to surrender and allow God to put our lives in order. And the fruit of this surrender is the peace and joy that we all desire. Sometimes we want to hold on to things and we don't really want to surrender even to God. And yet we still seek peace. But honestly, the only way we're ever going to achieve any kind of a lasting peace is to surrender to the Lord. When it comes to anxiety, that's one of the biggest lessons that I've had to learn. The only way that I will have peace in my life is if I really, really surrender to the Lord. And for somebody like me who is essentially a control freak, and I really am, I like to control things, it's difficult for me to do that, but it's critical. It's something we need to learn to do. Jesus was a radical. He reminds us at every turn that God's ways are not a slight variation of man's ways, but they are in fact radically different. Embrace any one of Jesus' teachings seriously, and some of the people around you are bound to think that you are taking it a little too far. His teachings don't invite us to the mediocre middle. They invite us to a radical love. This radical love is at the heart of the gospel. There are, of course, spectacular displays, but most of all, Jesus invites us to pass this radical love onto others, along to others through the daily events of our lives. At every turn, Jesus mentors us in this radical love. Jesus was a radical. They got to the root of things. His love was radical. It changed the entire course of human history. Now, honestly, we have become so acclimated to the teachings of Christ. We've heard his teachings for so long. We're familiar with his words. We've become a little bit desensitized, I think. He doesn't seem that radical to us. Because also, we don't always put his teachings into practice. And I think what Matthew Kelly is getting at here is the fact that if we take seriously the teachings of Christ, they are radical. Our lives are definitely going to be perceived as radical by others if we really take our Lord's teachings seriously and put them into practice. Point to ponder. Ask Jesus to help you get to the root of things in your life. Ask him to help you embrace the truth. That's a really good prayer request. Ask the Lord to help you embrace the truth. You know, you can't necessarily do it by yourself, because we tend to fool ourselves. We have a tendency to fool ourselves, and we sometimes don't embrace the truth. But with the Lord's help, that can be possible. A verse to live, Philippians 2:5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Question to consider, when was the last time you had the courage to seek out the root of an important issue? And finally, our prayer for the day, Jesus, point me toward the root of things and give me an extra nudge when I am tempted to settle for the shallow and the superficial. So there you have it. There's the material for today. Spend a little time thinking about that. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. That's where my email address. That's my email address if you need me. And let's take a look at the Mass readings now. These are for Wednesday, February the 17th. The first reading, and I'm going to tell you, these readings are tough. These readings have to do with repentance. These readings have to do, I'm going to set this up. Look, we're in a year of mercy right now. Our Holy Father has declared this extraordinary year of mercy. And we recognize God's mercy upon us. A lot of times we take it for granted. And I really think that's a problem that many of us suffer from. We don't necessarily feel that. Now, I mean, you may feel this way, but I think a lot of times we don't. You may not feel that you really need to throw yourself at the Lord's feet and depend on his mercy. But every day he gives us is an outpouring of his mercy. We were not judged today. You're still alive. There's a good possibility that when I look over my life and I look at certain periods of my life, and the things I was doing at the time, there's a very good chance that if the Lord let my life come to an end at certain points, I could have spent eternity in hell. And you know what? That shakes me up. It shakes me up a great deal. And it really should make you a little uncomfortable too, because we never know. We never know when our life is going to come to an end. By all means, I would encourage you to try to get to confession this weekend if you can, if your parish has confession over the weekend. Lent is a great time to do that, to take it seriously, to realize that you might never get the opportunity again. So please, take advantage of it. The readings today, that's what they're all about. First reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. Then he had this proclaimed throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles: neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to God. Every man shall turn from his evil way and from the violence he has in hand. Who knows, God may relent and forgive and withhold his blazing wrath, so that we shall not perish. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. Now, before anybody gets confused, I want to point out something. This version of God, this is a slightly imperfect version of God, as expressed in this book of the prophet Jonah. What we need to remember is that God doesn't repent. God doesn't change his mind. God is God, and God cannot change, because then he wouldn't be God. God is always constant. God is, by his very nature, incapable of changing. When you hear references like this, they are an example of something called anthropomorphism, which is attributing human qualities, in this case, to God. God doesn't change. So God can't suddenly, when presented enough evidence, just change his mind. So keep that in mind. But the point of this is, when Jonah told the people, and I don't know if you know the story, but Jonah didn't want to do this. If you ever get a chance, the book of Jonah is a very short book. I'd really recommend you read it. Jonah went to Nineveh, didn't want to go there, but eventually, after being swallowed by what's typically referred to as the whale, but really a large fish as described in the Bible, Jonah went to Nineveh, and he talked about the need for repentance. What happened was the people took him seriously, and they repented. And as a result, they were not destroyed. This is the message for us. The message is, we are given a chance. You are alive today. That's a wonderful thing. God has not condemned you to hell yet. Not that you're going to go to hell, but listen, let's just be grateful that we are still alive. We have not been judged. So we have this capability to repent. That's what we're trying to do during the Lenten season. Take it seriously. We've all done things that are wrong. We all have a tendency to do the wrong thing. We have a tendency to sin. Lent is the time to try to move away from that. Which leads us to our responsorial psalm, Psalm 51. A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me of my guilt and of my sin. Cleanse me. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and from your Holy Spirit take not from me. And your Holy Spirit take not from me. For you are not pleased with sacrifices. Should I offer a burnt offering, you would not accept it. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit. A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. The Lord expects us to change our ways. When we mess up, when we do things that are wrong, the Lord expects us to ask for forgiveness. And that's why the sacrament of confession is so important during Lent. You really want to make sure that you get to confession as often as possible. It's not something you want to stay away from, because in addition to being absolved of your sins, confession also gives us the opportunity to receive sacramental grace, the grace that will help us to be able to turn away and avoid future sin. So make it a point to go to confession. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Express your desire to repent, and it's all going to work out for you. The gospel today, Luke 11, verses 29 through 32, continuing with that same theme. See, I told you it's going to be a tough message today. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because of the preaching of Jonah they repented. And there is something greater than Jonah here." You and I have this fullness of revelation in Jesus Christ that the people of Nineveh did not have. Christ had not been born yet. We haven't had many years, thousands of years, for the church to reflect upon and teach us the message of Jesus. They didn't have that. We now have that. So, in other words, we know the deal. We know the need to repent. We hear Jesus speak to us. We hear what he has to say. The message sometimes is not one that we really want to hear. It's not easy to hear the message of repentance, of fasting, of turning away from sin, of denying ourselves. It's not a real popular message, right? But if we want to be true to the Lord, if we want to be true followers of Christ, what we have to do is turn away from sin and believe in the gospel. One of the prayers that was prayed over us when we received ashes. There were two different ones that the priest could use. He could say, "Remember, you are ashes, and from ashes you shall return." From whatever, I can't remember the exact wording, but it's that one. Or turn away from sin and believe in the gospel. That's the call. That's the call to us. This is the call that the people of Jonah of Nineveh were told by the prophet. They responded. So now, it's up to you and I. We look at these readings today. It's really hard to water down the message. It's hard to say that the Lord's not talking to us. It's impossible. It's unrealistic. You talk about truth. It's unrealistic for any of us to say we're not sinners, because that's not true. We are sinners. And if you don't feel like a sinner, I would suggest that you spend a little time and meditate on it. Ask the Holy Spirit to inform you. Because I struggle with this sometimes. This is not easy. Sometimes I don't think I feel as guilty as I should. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. But realistically, we need to acknowledge the fact that we have sinned repeatedly. And that we do things that are not right. In order for us to get better, we first have to recognize all of the problems. The problem areas in our life. That's what we need to do in order to get better. So I would ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand the areas in your life that need improvement. And again, we all have them. If we say that we don't have them, we're wrong. We all have these problem areas, and we want to work on them. We want to work on them, especially during the Lenten season. This is the perfect time of year for us to work on this. That's why we're here. That's why we're going through this Lenten retreat. And I'm just glad you're with me on this. I hope to be able to continue to do this show for many years to come. But right now, let's work on Lent. Please help me, be with me, show up here, and get ready to talk about Jesus every day. And let your friends know about the show, too. Remember, it's not too late. If you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to reach me. Again, if you want to find out more about my new book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, visit my website, followingthetruth.com. There's information there. The book is available on Amazon. I think it's still in pre-order status, but the next couple days it'll start to be shipped. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Have a great night. Talk to you soon.